Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
This is a very important month. Very. Oh, so very important. Yeah. Because this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. Yeah. So, you know, I just have to say, you know, I wouldn't have found what my calling is if it wouldn't have been for this church and the pastors here. The encouragement I have, the love I felt from them is so great. And, you know, I appreciate you guys so much. So, with that, Pastor Henry, Rosie, would you come, please? Pastor John, Stella, would you come up here? And Steve, Cargo. Because, you know, we gotta say which Steve in this church now. We got three. Stevie Bass, Steve Sound.
So anyways, we are so blessed in this body of Christ to have Pastor John and Pastor Henry and their wives. Because they're teaching us to seek God and hear His voice. And that's not done. That's not done very often in church. So we should lift. Thank you.
Should have known.
We need to lift them up daily in prayer and just thank them, and not just on Pastor Appreciation Day, but just really thank them, and because they go to before Lord for us all, and we're so blessed to have them. So thank them continually, each and every day, just thank them. And thank God for them, and ask God to increase their vision and increase what they hear from them and increase the ministry. And I think good things are going to happen. I know good things are going to happen. So we have gifts for Pastor Henry and Pastor John and Stella and Rosie. Yeah. So I think let's pray for them. And I think if Abe comes up and Linda and Rebecca, Terry, whoever wants to come up and pray, let's just pray over them, over their ministry, the ministry here, because it's for us. It's for all of us. Hank?
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the gift that you've given to us, Lord, in the pastors we have here. Lord, we lift them up that they'll be hearing your voice each and every day, and we know they do, Lord. Lord, just bless them when they're coming in and going out, Lord. Be with them continually, protect them, and just bless them with finances and spiritual blessings and health, Lord. And help us to learn and know what they're teaching us, Lord, that everything was completed on the cross that day when you said it's finished, Lord. And help us all to get this vision, Lord, and be behind them and go out and do the works that you have us to do, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Is a powerful tool. Praise and thanksgiving, it's a powerful tool. Oh, there's things going on right now. It can be really easy to forget that He's fighting for us. It can be really easy to want to take over on our own. It can be really easy to step outside of what we know He'd want us to be doing, what we know He'd want us to be saying. This is a time that's extremely critical. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of the messages have constantly been about the relationship that we're building with Him, the ability to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us on a regular basis. It's the communion. It's important because we are made up of the spirit, the soul, and the body. And this body will try to tell us exactly what we want and exactly what we need. It'll constantly tell us, I'm hungry, I need to eat. It'll tell us, I'm angry, I want to yell at somebody. It'll tell us, I'm really happy right now. And that's the thing, is that the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to do our day-to-day just based on what your body's telling you and what your emotions say. He created us spirit, soul, and body. The spirit comes before the other two because it's what should lead us. It shouldn't be our thoughts, what we think, how we feel, what we want, when we want it. It should be his thoughts, what he thinks, what he's telling us what we should do, where he's leading us, and what he's saying is important. Do you know that when we learn to walk according to the Holy Spirit instead of according to what we want, we'll begin to move and do things in a way that he desires. The kingdom on earth is possible. It's something that he's already given us. When he died on that cross and he gave you the Holy Spirit, he gave you the ability to walk with him on this earth on a regular basis all the time. All the time. You don't have to fight any battles. You don't have to do anything because he's doing it for you. He's fighting for you. Every time that you feel that feeling of anger rise up within you, step back and let him take control. And I'm telling you, if you learn to harness that, if you allow him to take control, begin to see something in your life like you've never seen before.
Lord gave me something early this morning. I was actually up pretty early and I was reading out of Proverbs and the Lord began to speak to me. And I didn't write it down then, but while I was here, I felt like the Lord told me to go ahead and write it down and share it. So Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Yeah. Proverbs 19:3, a person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that appears to be right, but it ends in death. Proverbs 3:5, trust in Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. I just feel like God says to us, you know, to seek his counsel. How many times do we go about our day and we make decisions based off of our own thoughts and our own ways and what we want to do? But I feel like God is saying, ask me, and I will lead you and I will guide you and I will direct your path. Even in the little things, I feel like God just wants us to ask even in the little things. If we don't ask him and we make decisions on our own, how can we be angry at him when we didn't seek his counsel in the first place? He's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to tell you to go somewhere where you're going to be led down a path and you're going to die. He's going to lead you in paths of righteousness, but you have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you.
Guys, this is where he's leading us. This is what he's trying to speak to us. Just rejoice. You know, rejoicing in him, praising him. Sometimes when you're angry, that's the best answer. Because it allows him to be able to speak to you. It brings you to a place where really you can just calm and allow him to speak to you. This is something he really wants us to grab a hold of, is to understand that we need him. We need the Holy Spirit to be first because it's going to guide us. It's going to set us apart. We're not supposed to be like this world. We're not supposed to have the same reactions. We're not supposed to hold grudges, get angry, be mad. We're not supposed to do those things. He's told us that the greatest thing is love. And that's the thing, is sometimes it can be hard to show love when we're wanting to let our emotions take over. And it's in everything, guys. Even when we're scared, even when we're unsure, when we feel unsteady, He's fighting on your behalf. He's doing a work that you don't see. So just go after Him and listen to Him, and He will show you exactly what you need.
I felt I just needed to get up here. I'm sure you can just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. And a few moments ago, you guys honored us with recognizing where we are, what we are to this church. But I really felt the Lord wanted me to share with you that we have a title, but He wanted me to acknowledge you. Each one of you has something that God has given you, a place, a people. You have your own groups that you minister to. You walk out that door and you're walking out in your mission field. It's out there. And so we have the honor of being recognized by you. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit sees you. And today He honors you. He honors you as a worship team. He honors you just when you reach out to people, when you feed them, when you feed your children as you speak to them. He sees your hearts. And it's wonderful that people can see, but the best thing is that He sees us. So what I'd like to do right now is just pray for you. You prayed for us. Now I want to pray for you. So just receive. Father God, I thank You for the group of people, Lord, that You surrounded us with, Lord. It's not just about a pastor. It's not just about a worship team. It's about a church. And Lord, this is Your church. And You're doing wonderful things in this place, Lord. You're stirring hearts, Lord. And just as this song says, Lord, that we want our hearts to be open, Lord. Our eyes, the eyes of our heart to be enlightened. Let us see what You see in this place. As we walk out that door, Lord, as we are in this place, Lord, let us see what You're seeing. So, Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that You have chosen us. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit that just is leading us, empowering us, enlightening our eyes, Lord, the eyes of our heart. And Lord, thank You for the honor, Lord, that You bestow upon this church body to be one that speaks not only in this place, but to our world, Lord. And we thank You in the name of Jesus.
The Lord gave me a word this morning during our adult Sunday school, which happens at 9 o'clock every Sunday. That's a shameless plug. Y'all are invited. But the word He gave me was peace. Peace. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is, be still and know that I am God.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Be still. Yeah. Stop running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And know, have no doubts, I am God. I, not you, I am God, and He is God. We get so wrapped up in our day-to-day stuff, and we look at, Lord, please take away the TVs. We look at what's going on around us in the world, and we get so concerned. I just
ask each and every one of you right now, close your eyes for just a minute and contemplate on who God is. And remember, He is in control. And no matter what happens, it's His plan. And it'll all work out. He loves us without a doubt.
Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely. And we just need to have the faith to lean on Him. Remember Peter, when the Lord Jesus called him, he climbed out of that boat. He kept his focus on the Lord, and Peter walked on water. We can too. We just need to keep the main thing, and that is our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord was speaking to me in my prayer closet this morning. At least I asked Him to speak to me. And I got nothing. Nothing at all. And I thought, well, I should open the Bible and see what He has to say. But I didn't do that. I thought, I'm going to wait until He speaks to me. And I waited and I waited. And finally He said, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So I waited again.
Yes.
He said, I am your rock, your firm foundation. Wait for me to lay the foundation ahead of you.
Yes.
Wait for me to knock out the trash that's in front of you. Wait for me to remove the snare that's in front of you. Wait for me to break open that door.
Come on.
So that you can have the breakthrough that you need. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And watch what I will do for you.
Yes, Lord.
Just wait for me.
Thank you, Lord. The Word of God says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the habitation of Your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all that You're doing, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't God good? Yeah, let's give Him a hand. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. It's good. It's good. God is good. Oh, folks, He loves you. Do you know how much He cares about you? Do you know? Do you realize the desire God has to speak to you personally? Do you realize? Do you realize how much He wants to say to you? Do you realize that His realities are everything that you need? Do you realize that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we got one more thing we got to do this morning. Yeah, he's looking at me like, what? Praise God. Hey, can I get Eileen and Leo up here? I'm going to come. I'm gonna step back a little bit. Eileen and Leo, come on up here. Hallelujah. This two young couple right here, they've been married 2 weeks. That's a liar. We like turn around. Hallelujah. These two have been married 50 years. It's their 50th year anniversary. So we just want to honor that. How many of you know it takes a man and woman of God to put up with each other 150 years? How many know that? Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What God has joined, let no man what? Nobody. Nobody. And God has done a great and wonderful thing in your marriage. Amen. So if you would, everybody, could you just stand up and stretch your hands toward these two? Hallelujah. Say this. Leo, Eileen. Another 50. Come on, amen. How many say amen to that? Amen. Let's give them another 50. Say that, speak that in Jesus' name. You have the dew of your youth upon you. The word of the Lord is dwelling richly within you. Let that word resurrect everything within you. Let the word of God, let it, as it flows into you, let it make new every organ, every bone, every, just like your heart. Amen. In Jesus' name, I say amen. Let's pray, Father. We thank you for this too. We thank you, Lord, for these pillars. Pillars in the church of our God. In your assembly, Father, these two are pillars. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them continually. Thank you for the shield that you placed around them. The blood of Jesus. Thank you for the knowledge of the Most High in their life, God. So we ask you, Father God, that your blessings would be upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Another, say everybody say another 50. Yeah, we got a gift for you right here. Come on, let's see. Hallelujah. I'll take that. We got that. And then you got a set of flowers back there, but he's going to set them back there. He don't want you to.
I just want to say that.
Yes.
It's only possible if you have the Lord.
Amen. Come on, man. That's right. That's exactly right.
I asked the Lord for somebody to spend my life with on a Friday night, and on a Sunday, on a Saturday night, the next Saturday night, I met this girl, and I wasn't going to let her go.
Come on. Hallelujah. So it went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so, come on. Praise God.
It has not been dull. We've had a really exciting life, and it's not been stand still ever. And after we retired, we did a lot of missionary work. We did a lot of building and churches and camps and things like that. God fulfilled our life. And I just couldn't say enough about that. You know, that when you let him be first in your life, the rest falls into place.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good preaching. Praise God. Thank you, guys. God bless you. We love you. I got also one more. Are these back there, Eileen? They're on the back table. Hey, on the back table, we have these. These go with the boxes. Some of you took boxes last week, and you probably noticed, hey, there's not a thing. What am I supposed to put in this thing? Amen. Hallelujah. So know that these are back there on the back table, so you can pick them up and take them. Hey, let's fill those boxes. I ordered some baby bottles for the pregnancy center. And so we should be seeing some baby bottles back there that you can put your loose change. Does anybody ever carry loose change? Just say, I never carry loose change. So, but we'll fill them up. Amen. We got to go to Safeway and cash them. Yes.
These are sticky notes that go on top of the boxes this year. They don't go inside. The only thing that I've heard too is they don't want anything liquid. No toothpaste, no hand lotions, anything like that. But these stick on top of the box. And this year it's $9 instead of $8.
Okay, great. I'm glad. I know you saw me pulling in on her. I was trying to get my mic over to her. Is that okay? That way, and then everybody say, "What's wrong with Pastor? What's he doing?" Amen. Come on, leave her alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is God good? Yeah, he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I had a good time in worship this time. I mean, you say amen. Amen. You know, God. Oh, hallelujah. I know he's with me always. Amen. I know he's always with me. But there is something special about when you sense his presence, just move into a building. Is that right? Yeah. When there's something special about it. There's something, that, I mean, exciting about it. Sometimes you say, something good is about to happen. Is that right? Who is that, Pastor? Who is that? I don't remember. Something good is going to happen today. I don't know. But praise God. You know what? God's got good things for you. Amen. Let me tell you, body of Christ, he has health for you. He's got strength for you. He's got provision for you. Everything that's in that book that he has promised to the seed of Abraham, it's all yours. Amen. So get in there and find it. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know he's your king this morning? Hallelujah. The title of the sermon this morning is Your King. Look at your neighbor and say, my king. My king. Look at your other name. Said, no, my king. No, he is your king. How many know that? If you're in the kingdom of God, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you have an entry into the kingdom. And in this kingdom, there is a king. Amen? There is, the Bible says, and I think it's Isaiah chapter 9, I think it says, that the government is upon his shoulders. Amen? Come on, man. You have a king. Hallelujah. And you know what the best thing about your king is? He's always with you. Come on, man. He's always with you. He cares about you. This king that we're talking about this morning. Hallelujah. How many of you remember that the Bible talks about it got to a point where Samuel was an old man? Remember that? Samuel the prophet, he became old. And his sons weren't, they were sort of men of God. But the Bible says that the Israel, they said, hey, you know, you're old now and your sons just aren't cutting the mustard. Amen? And they kind of take bribes. How many know that's not good? Take bribes and they leave off on judgment. They don't try to judge. They don't try to look at things the way God would look at them. And so they said, we want a king. We want a king. That was their thing. How many of you know sometimes it's not good to get everything you want? How many of you know that? Does anybody know that? How many, sometimes you know that. I like telling this story. This is about Kenneth Copeland. He had asked for an airplane. He says, God, I want an airplane. Can you give me this airplane? And he said, God, I know this. And the guy called him up and said, man, hey, the deal is today, man. And it's cheaper than you've, I mean, you can't get another plane like this. So Kenneth said, Lord, can I have the plane? Lord, is it? Are you providing this plane? He just went ahead and bought the thing. He said about a few months later, the thing broke down. The plane broke down. So he went to God and he says, God, your plane is broke. He says, I didn't tell you to buy that. That's your plane. Come on, man. Hallelujah. You ever had anything that maybe at the end you say, man, maybe I shouldn't have bought this. Maybe I shouldn't have got this. You ever ask for something that, oh my goodness, caused you more trouble than it was worth. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look. Let's take a look. Turn to Samuel chapter 8, I believe it is. I was telling some of the guys that I must have been really tired last night because when I got into my notebook, this is last week's sermon. This week's sermon, put it in there upside down. I said, must have been really tired. I said, okay. I started paging in. I go, what's going on here? Something's different. Sure enough. Hallelujah. John chapter, first, you know what? Before we go to that, we want to go to John chapter 1, verse 43. John chapter 1, verse 43. I'm sorry. I'm like that. Get ready. I mean, be used to that. Because I'm like that a lot. Isn't that right, Pastor John? I'll tell you one thing, and the next thing I'm doing something different. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's called being led by the Spirit. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you. The Lord, if there's anything we know, Lord, we need to hear from you. Father God, the thoughts and the ideas of men, Father God, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that sometimes we have good ideas and sometimes we have good thoughts. But the fact is, Lord, that we need you. Nothing but you, like a song we sang this morning. Nothing else but you, Lord. So, Lord, as we read these stories, as we go into the Word of God, Father, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, just to advance your Word in the hearts of your people this morning, God. Cause it to bring them to a new thing, to a new understanding, something that you write upon their heart, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Jesus. In your name, Lord, we pray. Everybody say amen. 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 Praise God. John chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 43. The Word of God says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Hallelujah. Then Philip went to look for, Philip found Nathanael. Hey, really, can we start again on that? Let's start again. I'm sorry. I asked you to do it in the Passion Translation. This is, it's in the King James. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and found Philip. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, can we get in Passion? Thank you. All right. Praise God. How's everybody doing this morning? Hallelujah. I mean, I'm not used to this. No, you should be used to this, Pastor. Yeah. No. I love these guys. A lot of times I don't get stuff back there to them like this. Here it is. This is the Passion? Yes. Okay. So the next day, Jesus decided to go to the region of Galilee. And there he found Philip and said to him, "Come and follow me." Now Philip, Andrew, and Peter were all from the same village of Bethsaida. Then Philip went to look for his friend Nathanael and told him, "We have found him. We found the one that we've been waiting for. It's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." I like this. Hallelujah. "The anointed one. He's the one that Moses and the prophets prophesied would come." And Nathanael sneered. Does anybody know what a sneer is? No, it's a sneer. Nathanael sneered, "Nazareth," it's like Bisbee. I'm sorry. "Nazareth, what good thing could ever come from Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and let's find out." When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, "Now here comes a true son of Israel, an honest man with no hidden motive." Nathanael was stunned and said, "But you've never met me. How do you know anything about me?" And Jesus answered, "Nathanael, right before Philip came to you, I saw you sitting under the shade of a fig tree." Nathanael blurted out. He went from sneering to blurting. Amen. He blurted out, "Teacher, you are truly the Son of God and the King of Israel." Amen. Hallelujah. How many have met this king that we're talking about right here? I believe that there is something in that conversation. It's not really revealing, is it? But there's something in that conversation to whatever Nathanael was saying to God under that fig tree that morning, that Jesus heard it. And he said, "Here is a man that has no hidden motives, an honest man in Israel." And when Jesus told Nathanael, "Hey, I saw you under the fig tree," Nathanael knew that he was probably by himself. He goes, "What?" And he blurted out, "You're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Amen? Praise God. There's a revealing that happens when people, take a look at Jesus and then what Jesus does for you. He opens your mind so you can receive maybe something that he's got for you. So if anything, maybe be born again. How many know? That it took something to get you from being a sinner to being born again. How many know that? Is that right? It took something. Hallelujah. It took a word from something that, from someone, somebody said something in your life and you took that word and then all of a sudden it opened up to you and you said, "I need a Savior." Hallelujah. Does anybody remember when you were lost? Does anybody remember that time in your life when you had nothing, even though you thought you had everything? Does anybody remember that it takes humility and humbleness before God to go to him and say, "God, forgive me"? Does anybody remember that? Come on. Hallelujah. Folks, we can get big for our britches. You know what I'm saying? We can get too big. We can think, "Oh man, I'm something else." But the Holy Spirit says, "Do you remember when you came to me. Yes. And you asked me to forgive you. And I said, yes, I will. I've given you my son. His name is Jesus, and he will wash your sins away. Oh, I remember. How many remember that? I remember that. How many can recall being lost? It's been quite a while now for me. It's been quite a while. It's been 30, going on 31 years. But I still remember what he did for me. I still remember how I felt. God, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Have mercy on me, God, save me. And he did. And he heard me, and he did. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to go to Samuel chapter 8 now. Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 8.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We're entering here where the Bible talks about where Samuel was now getting old. He was becoming an old man. He's a prophet that grew up in the house of the Lord. His mom prayed for a man. She didn't have any kids. She prayed, God, give me a son, and I'll lend him to you all the days of his life. And she held on to that. God gave her a son, Samuel, and he was raised in the temple with Eli and his sons, and Samuel could hear the Lord. God would speak to this young man, and now Samuel's old, getting up there in years. Amen? Hallelujah. And verse 1 in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn son was Joel. And the name of his second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, that's money, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said to him, behold, thou art old. That's a nice way to come to a guy, isn't it? Hey, old man. Yeah, see, I told my son, don't tell me that, bro. Thou art old, and thy sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Verse 6 says, but the thing displeased Samuel. And when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also to you, Samuel. Verse 9 says, now, therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly to them. This is God telling Samuel, listen to what they're saying, but protest. Speak to them. He said, protest solemnly to them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, people that they make perfume. And he said, he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, we will have a king over us. We want a king, that we may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Oh, God. How many of you know we have a king? Do you know what he does? Do you know he fights our battles? Do you know he goes out before us? Do you know that he gives us judgment on things? Do you know that? That's the king we have. And this here is Israel saying, we want a king. We want one we can see. We want one we can bow down to. We want one like all the nations round about us. Hallelujah. Just because your neighbor has a Corvette doesn't mean you have to have a Corvette. Amen. Just because they've got a big house doesn't mean you got to have a big house. Amen. Come on. God will give you what you need. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the provider of your life. He's your king. He is the king. And they said, nah, we want a king. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. And from that, I'd love to read all of this, but I think all of you would just get tired of me reading. And so I'm going to bring you up one each, and you can read a couple of verses. Is that okay? I won't do that. No, we're not going to do that. Hallelujah. But they wanted a king. And now we get into the story of the first king, which his name was Saul. And just so happened that Saul's had, they lost some donkeys. And so Saul's dad, Kish, told him, you know what? Go out and see if you can find the donkeys. So Saul took a servant with him, and they went out and they started looking for the donkeys. Well, they got pretty far out, and they hadn't found the donkeys. How many know there was probably an angel there? Come here, guys. Pulled them around and was hiding them somewhere. He was hiding them donkeys. So Saul and his servant are looking for the donkeys. They can't find them. Saul finally says, you know what? My dad's going to start worrying about us, man. You know, we've been out here a couple of days. My dad will worry, man, so we probably better get home, man. And his servant said, hey, we're right by this town. There's a seer in this town. Let's go to him and ask him. Maybe he can tell us where the donkeys are. And he goes, okay. But we don't have any money. See, Saul was a man of honor. He said, man, we're going to go to ask somebody for information. We're going to pay for this. His servant says, no worries, man. I got a little chunk of silver right here. We'll give this to him and see what he tells us. So they head into the city, and they're looking for the seer. And as they're heading in, there's some ladies out there, and they're out there going to get some water. And they ask him, hey, where's the seer? Where's his house at? And they said, today he's going to be here today. He's coming out because there's going to be a big supper today. And if you go on up the hill, just at the entering of the city, you should find him. He should be there. So when these two guys get up to the top of the hill, sure enough, there's an old guy out there. Just happened to be Samuel. And Saul walks up to him. He says, can you tell me where the seer's house is? Do you know where the seer is? And Samuel says, I'm the seer. And it's funny because the day before that, God had told the seer, tomorrow about this time, there will be a young man coming to see you. He is the one that I want you to pick for to be king over Israel. So when Samuel's talking to him, the Lord tells Samuel, he says, this is him who I talked to you about. So Samuel said, you know what? Guess what, bro? You're eating with me today. Saul goes, huh? What? He said, yeah, you are going to eat with us. We're having a sacrifice and we're going to eat together. And you're coming with me. You're going to sit right next to me. So I'm sure Saul doesn't know what's going on. So they go and they make this big sacrifice and he's sitting next to Samuel, and Samuel tells him something. The Lord has picked you. The Lord has chosen you out of all the people of Israel to be the king of Israel. Pretty neat story. They go to bed. The nighttime comes, they go to bed. They get up early in the morning. Saul tells them, get up. It's time for you to leave. And he tells them, tell your servant to go on ahead a little bit. And when he does, he says, he anoints him with oil. He pours an oil on and he says, you're the king of Israel. I'm sure Saul's going, what? What are you talking? I'm just looking for some donkeys. Man, and I'm now all of a sudden a king of Israel. Are you kidding me? And he said, this is what's going to happen to you, man. When you leave here, man, you're going to run into some people, man. And they're going to be carrying bread and wine and three sheep. And they're going to give you some of that. Okay. He said, then you can go a little farther. And there's going to be some prophets that come out. And they've got instruments and everything. And you're going to prophesy with them. What? Kind of an out of order thing. How many know God's got new things? Saul was stepping into some new stuff. Amen. I love what Saul told Samuel. He goes, I am the least of the tribes of Israel. See, Saul knew at that time. He says, man, I ain't nobody. Who are you picking me for? Why me? Why me? You ever thought, why you? You ever thought that? Do you realize what a privilege it is to be chosen for the kingdom of God? You ever said that to yourself? Why me? Oh. So he goes on his way, and exactly what Samuel had told him, it happened. So Saul gets back home, and his uncle tells him, man, where you been, bro? The donkeys were found 2 days ago. And he goes, yeah, well. Saul didn't tell them anything. He just said, yeah, we didn't know. Didn't say to his uncle, hey, didn't tell him anything about Samuel. Didn't say anything. Just kept it to himself. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will say something to you. And depending on the people that are around you, you might not want to say what God has told you. Amen? How many know that? They might look at you and say, what? You? Yeah, right. Hallelujah. So what happens is there's a guy named Naash. He's an Ammonite. And he decides, you know what, I'm gonna go against Israel. So he comes down to Jabesh Gilead is the name of the city. He comes against that city and he sets himself in array. And the men of the city go out to him. And they say, hey, let us make a covenant with you. Make a covenant with us and we'll serve you. And Naash says this. He goes, hey, okay, we'll make a covenant. But one thing you'll have to do, I want all you guys to come out, all the men, you come out, and we're going to pluck out your right eye. Everyone put your hand on your right eye. I say, what, my right eye? You're going to pluck out my right eye? So they looked at him and they said, you know what? Give us 7 days. Give us a week so that we might send to Israel, see if anybody will come and help them. And I think Naash probably thought, ain't nobody coming to help you. You got no help in Israel. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So they send out men to go talk to people in Israel. And the people are crying. People are saying, man, what's going to happen? What's going to, you know, we're going to all be one eyes. That's not a bad thing. Where's my wife? She doesn't know. Some of you don't get that, but anyway, I'm sorry. But anyway, they go, hey, Saul goes, why is everybody crying? And they said, because Naash, the Ammonite, has come against Jabesh-Gilead, and he's threatening. And if they don't make a covenant, if nobody comes to help, they're going to make a covenant where everybody loses their right eye. And the thing, it got him upset. How many know that? The Spirit of the Lord came on Saul, and Saul got upset, and he goes, uh-uh. He took a yoke of oxen, he cut it up into pieces, and he sent it to all the tribes of Israel. And he said, this is what I am going to do to your oxen if you do not come to fight this battle. And all of Israel goes over there, and they go up against Naash, and Naash gets defeated. How many say amen to that? Amen. The anointed king of Israel made a decision, and now he's the hero. Amen? The Bible says right after that, they wanted to make him king. They took him to a city, and they said, hey, we're going to make you king. And so they did. They made him king over Israel. Beautiful thing. Beautiful story. And that's where we're at now. They have made him king over Israel, and now we're in Samuel chapter 12. And I'm going to read you just, you can go ahead and set up 12:1, but I'm going to read you the last two verses of 1 Samuel 11. And Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. It's a great day, amen? Wow, we got us a king. Now we got a king. See, people are wondering, we got a king, we got a king, we finally got a king. But you remember that God said they rejected me and rejected you. They didn't reject you, Samuel, they rejected me. Now here's Samuel's response. Hey, watch this. Samuel said to all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walks before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose oxen have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? He's asking these questions to these folks. Whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? I'll restore it. And the people said, thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither have you taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything, or you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered him, he is a witness. They're saying, yeah, that's right. Verse 6, now Samuel begins to play. I love this. Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought up your fathers out of the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come to Egypt and your fathers cried to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt safe. The folks said, amen. Yeah, that's right. And when you saw Naash, king of the children of Ammon, come against you, you said to me, nay, but a king shall reign over us. He's reminding them of their request. Remember that God did all of this for Moses and all the children of Israel. Remember that? But when Nahash came against you, what did you want? You wanted a king. Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Amen? Now therefore, behold the king whom you've chosen and whom you've desired. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then you shall both, you and also your king that reigns over you, continue to following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. I love it. I love what Samuel's about to do here. He says, man, if you think I'm just talking, you think I'm just blowing hot air at you, man, check this out. And he says this, and now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking yourself a king. Wow. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Crazy. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask a king. Repentance, amen. They realized, you know what? God really wasn't for this. But Samuel says, and Samuel said to the people, fear not, for you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people. How many say amen to that? God won't forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And then he says it, but I will teach you the right way, the good and the right way. Verse 24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your what? Heart. Serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. And I love verse 25. It says, but if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. I like that. I kind of like putting, I said, you know, you're not supposed to change the word of God, I know, but I like putting little words in there. But he says, you will be, if you decide, if you continue to sin, you continue to do wickedly, you will be consumed, you and your stinking king. Yeah, that's right, man. He's gonna, I mean, you see, because he says, if you will follow the Lord with all your heart, that's all God's looking for. Amen. How many know that? Folks, you know, can I tell you something? I was the other day, I was at my house and I think it was a piece of mail I picked up. And I looked at it. And when I looked at it, it was one of these flyers for a presidential race. And I looked at it, and I go, look at these folks right here, man. They look like a bunch of terrorists, because they got their mask on, and they look like terrorists. And I looked up, and my wife turned around and walked away. And I don't know if that was on purpose. She says it wasn't on purpose. But when she did that, I got convicted. It's like the Lord said something to me. I said, oh, yeah, she's walking away because of what you're doing. It was almost like I got convicted for the way I was looking at this. Can I just say this to you? That Jesus is my king. He is my king. He's Lord over my house. Can I say that to you? He is Lord over my house. Anything he wants to change, God, please change it. He's Lord. He's my king. I want you to look at these scriptures. Just I was reading Hosea, and this one scripture just really stood out to me. Hosea chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. Check this out. I really do believe God was talking about this event we just sent. He said, "Oh, Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but your help is in me," is what he says. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Israel, you've destroyed yourself, but your help is in me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we make choices and we do things and we get away from God. Amen. But our help is in Christ. Amen. That's where our help. I will look under the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He says, you've destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. I will be thy king. Amen. That's why, I love this. I'll be your king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? I don't care where you go. Who else can save you? Just your king. Amen. Hallelujah. And thy judges, of whom you said, now I believe he's talking about this event. Give me a king and princes. Not princesses, but princes. Give me a king. I mean, Hosea is speaking the word of the Lord. See, God still says, hey, man, I'm your king. There ain't nobody else beside me, just me. Hallelujah. He says, I gave thee a king in my anger. Wow. He wasn't happy about what they had said. He wasn't. He said, I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my what? In my wrath. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15. I want you to look at this. This is a statement that the Lord says. The word of God says, it says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel. What? Your king. He is your king. And what I realized in that piece of paper that I was looking at, I've actually said some things that I now, because of what God had said to me in this for this sermon, and maybe it's just for me. Maybe it's not for you at all. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe God's just talking to me. But I know for a fact that when I say something against any man, it doesn't matter who they are, man, woman, I mean, I don't care who they are. When I say anything contrary to what God is saying about them, I am not honoring my king. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? We're in a presidential race right now. Is that right? And it's a race. And they're saying one's over the other one. The other one's in there, and this other one. And you know, how many are tired of it? How many just let's just get the voting done and get it done. All right? Come on, man. I mean, we're in a race. And people are going to be people. How many say that? Amen. But see, they are not, there's people out there that are not of the kingdom of God. There are people out there that are not under the rulership of the kingdom. They don't have a king. So they might say anything they want to say because they don't understand some of the things we're getting ready to look at, okay? But I will tell you, know this, if you're expecting more out of a man than what you should, if you are repositioning your hopes and your faith, and you are repositioning in a man, and God says, I'm your king. I am the one that paid for you, is what he says. I'm your king. It's not a president, not a mayor, not a Supreme Court judge. He's the king. And you cannot position people above him. Amen? You cannot. And you know what? You might do that in your heart. You might not really be recognizing it. But know this. God recognizes it. He knows. He sees. You can't hide it from him. Hallelujah. He's the king. Jesus is the king. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, 33 says this. Seek first. How many say first? How many say first with me? First. What does it mean first? First thing. First things are first. How many? Does anybody put their shoes on before they put on their pants? First things first. Anybody besides Pastor John? Yeah. First things first. Amen. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11 through 17, says this. Beloved, talking about you. Say your name real quick. Henry. Yeah, come on, let's do it again. Do you guys know your name? Let me help you. Say your name real quick. I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sensual urges, those dishonorable desires. Come on, he's not just talking about sexual desires and all. He's also talking about things that you want, that you lust after, and things that you want to happen. Can I just say this to you? When my granddaughter got picked up, what we're battling right now, when she got that, Lord said something to me. He says, Henry, listen, just say this. Am I not your king during that time? You see, we get a little bit selfish, if you will, because we want everything to be going good in our lives. Is that right? I want everybody healthy. I want my provisions. And when it doesn't happen, sometimes it kind of caves in on us and we don't know what to say. We don't know what to think, but we get mad at God or we say, God, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to do this. Can I tell you something? Maybe selfishness is something that needs to be taken out of us. How many say that? Amen to that. Because the word of God says that you are dead. You died on a cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are dead and you are to reckon yourself dead. And then these things that come against you are things that come and they don't look good. I tell you, they don't look good. Hallelujah. God says, do you trust me? I'm your king. I'm the one that has brought you into this life. And it's not just life. It's called eternal life. It's called life, more abundant life. It's what God has brought you into. But sometimes he's got to do things to help us to understand, to help us to take, to really kill off the old man that's within us. Can I tell you, these can be some deep, deep, deep things that go on within you where you find that and you say, God, I will trust you. Just like Job. Though you slay me, I'll trust you. Now we're talking something where you've laid aside everything, your desires, and you said, God, I'm going to trust you through this. Can I tell you how important that is to us and to God? Folks, God is building and strengthening the body. And it's important to him that we do lay our lives down for him, that we do pick up our cross and follow him. Because I want you to watch, because God is a faithful God and he will do all the things that he's promised to you if you will hold to his promises and never let go. Never let go of the promises that God has for you. Never let go. Rehearse them. Speak to him about them, saying, God, I thank you, Father, for all that you've given. He's given so much. Would you say that? Wouldn't you say he's given so much? Wouldn't you say that he could have just said, I'll save you and that's it? But no, he says, now I'll give you this promise, and I'll give you this promise, and I'll give you this promise. And you know what? I'll give you this promise too. And you know what? I'll give you this promise. I'll do these things for you. He could have just said, I'll save you, but he didn't. He says, I promise you, I'm coming back. Yes. Verse 12 says, keep your behavior excellent among the unsaved Gentiles. Can I say that to you? How many have gotten in a fight with somebody over the candidates, the presidential candidates. Anybody rolled around Walmart just in, I told you, not in it. Yeah. How many times I got to tell you? That's it. I don't want to talk to you again. I mean, no, you know what I'm saying. How many, you know, can, because it can come to that, can't it? And isn't it easy to slip into those things? Yeah. Isn't it easy to say, oh, we got, God is saying, hey, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Conduct yourself honorably, amen, with righteousness and integrity, so that whatever reason they may slander you as evildoers, yet by observing your good deeds, they may instead come to glorify God in the day of visitation when he looks upon them with mercy. Can you see how important it is for us to maintain who we are in Christ? Because there might be a day in that person that you're arguing with, but God wants to come in and speak to him and visit him and saying, I'm offering you salvation. And it could be because of your good behavior and conversation that the man says, I believe God. And he brings him in. Can you see how important it is that we maintain who we are in these times? Submit yourselves to the authority of every human institution for the sake of the Lord to honor his name, whether it is to a king as one in a position of power or to governors as sent by him to bring punishment to those who do wrong and to praise and encourage those who do right. For it is the will of God that by doing right you may silence. Do you see that word silence? The Amplified says muzzle and gag. Sometimes you want to muzzle. Sometimes I want to gag. Oh, man. Sometimes I think I need to be muzzled. Sometimes I think I need to be gagged. And that's what I felt when Rosie turned and walked away. The culpable in ignorance and irresponsible criticisms of foolish people. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover or pretext for evil. Do you see that? Because you know the Lord. Do you see how important it is for you to maintain who you are? Do not use your cover as a pretext for evil, but encourage, but use it and live as bondservants of God. Show respect for all people. How many is all? What about the guy that cussed me out down the road? Do I have to? Yeah. Show respect for all people. Treat them what? Honorably. Love the brotherhood of believers. Hallelujah. It's the Bible that says right here, fear God. And I like this one. It says, honor the king. Honor the king. How many of you remember that word where your mom and dad would tell you, you know what? The Bible says you have to honor your mother and your father. So you better honor me. And a lot of times we, growing up, we say, well, as long as they're in the house or as long as they're in the room, I'll honor them. But you know what? Can I tell you your actions honor? Your actions will honor your parents. You'll see in scripture, you're going to see, for example, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the son of David. You'll see the references to the lineage. You'll see that. Do you know how much honor is looked at, not just when you're by yourself, but when you're out amongst everybody else? Do you honor your parents? Do you give them honor? Oh, that's Lupe's son. I remember one 4th of July before I knew the Lord, I was laying at the grassy park. It was called the Vista Park in Bisbee. There was a keg of beer on the corner there where I had some friends. We had bought a keg, and I had that hose sticking in my mouth. I'm laying on the floor. And every once in a while, I'd reach up and I'd press it. Do you know what kind of dishonor that was for my mom? That was a dishonor. And folks, sometimes we do things and we don't honor the King. We say things that's not honoring the King. And in these times right now, during this presidential race, I'm going to say to all of you, try to honor the Lord. Honor the Lord in your responses. Honor the Lord and say, hey, I'm going to take whatever they got to say. And Lord, help me to show them the right and the good way. Amen. Got one more scripture. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it's in the Passion Translation says this. Be well balanced always and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly, amen, and like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Can I just say this to you? The enemy loves to hear you saying things contrary to what would be honoring the Lord. He loves to hear you. Even if you got a good reason to do it, he wants to provoke you to continue to tear down somebody. Hallelujah. I think this morning, as you stand up, you guys can stand up. Let's pray for our presidential candidates. Amen. Let's just pray for them. Let's just pray that God would have his way in our nation. Amen. And I really do believe that it takes men and women of God to direct a nation, because your prayers are so important. So if you would, just close your eyes. Say, dear Lord Jesus, we see an election is coming in our land. Father, we ask you to have your way. Your choice. We ask you for that, Father. And Father, if it turns out that we don't have our desire, we ask you to help us with that. And Lord, we ask you that you would continue to bless your people and this great nation, that we might speak to the world about how glorious you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you agree with that? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he is your King. Honor him. Honor him. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Hey, let's worship one more time with a song.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.